I'm going to try this. Walking along life's road, one day I heard a voice so sweetly say, a place up in heaven, yep, heaven, I'm building thee. What a beautiful, beautiful home. Home, sweet home. Home, sweet home. Where I'll never roam. I see the light of that city so bright, and it's my home, sweet home. Amen. If I was better, I'd do another verse of it. But I'll tell you what I'd like to do. Am I free today? I'm back home in Napanee, aren't I? Huh? You got lots of time? I may not make it up the steps again if I go down, will I? Turn to 155 in your hymn book. Pastor, I might need your... I can go down. It's easier to go down than come up. You know that, don't you? Oh, all right. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know what? I knew as soon as I walked into this building today that there was liberty here. I knew that. You know something? The moment I walked through the door, about three sermons ran through my mind. Preach me, preach me, preach me. And I knew there was liberty here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. 155, turn and you'll... Stephen Foster wrote the music to it. Chorus in that Stephen Foster's tune. This is my story. This is my song. Thank you. beautiful piano you have. Praise the Lord. Stephen Foster died when he was 38 years of age. He died in a cheap, sleazy hotel in New York. 25 cents a night. And he was inebriated. That was his great problem. If only God could have gotten hold of that man, he would have written many wonderful hymns. He was inebriated. He fell on a porcelain sink, and the sink broke and cut Stephen Foster's throat. He fell to the floor and began to moan and groan, and someone came in, and Foster began to plead for some rum. If anybody had a bottle of rum, and somebody had a bottle in their hip pocket, and gave to him what the rest of what was in there. They took him to the hospital. 3 days later, he passed away. Nobody knew who he was. And they looked in his overcoat and found a little slip of paper that said, "Sweethearts and Gentle People." And they thought, that's poetry. Who could this man have been? And little did they know it was Stephen Foster, the man that wrote over 200 songs that all America sang. And I like to put it with, "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. As long as you got a wall, I'm all right. Praise God. I feel good here this morning. I hope you do too. Don't worry about me. Don't worry at all, friends, because I'll tell you the truth. My leg bothers me going up steps, but do you know something? I can preach for 2 hours and it never bothers me at all. Don't even feel it once I start to preach. Hallelujah. I feel like shouting praise the Lord here this morning. Praise the Lord. My father pastored in this town for 10 years. And we moved. The first place when we lived here was on Derry Avenue, a home that belonged to then Bruce Wager. Isn't that interesting? I remember all that stuff. And paid $25 a month rent. That was those days, right? And Oh my, what wonderful memories it is. I got a lot of memories, but I'll tell you something. It was in this town that God called me into the ministry. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In fact, I was in Coburg Camp that summer, just a teenager, and the morning speaker was a man from Philadelphia. He gave an altar call, and as far as I know, I might have been the only one that went to the prayer room that morning and settled it. I knew I was called, but I didn't want to go. I knew enough about the ministry that I thought I might better be a carpenter, you know what I mean? And I went in and settled it all before the Lord. I said, "God, if you want me, I'm there." And I walked out and met my godly mother, and I said, "Mom, I got something to tell you." She says, "No, you don't. You don't have to tell me. I know." Oh, I said, "You don't know this." She said, "Yes, I do." Boy, don't ever underestimate mothers, right? I said, "You don't know this." She said, "Yes, I do." I said, "What?" She says, "You just told the Lord you're going in the ministry to Bible college this fall." How? You got no secrets. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I feel so good. We used to have a chorus that came up from the Maritimes. We sang it when I was an apnea kid. "I feel so good that I feel brand new, and I wish that you could feel it too. I feel the fire burning in my soul. Down in my soul, down in my soul, I feel the fire burning in my soul." What a beautiful church you've got. What a beautiful church and a beautiful pulpit and sacrament table. And my dear, the windows. Isn't that something? My dear Lord, if I lived in this town, I'd have to come here. I wouldn't doubt I would, judging from the liberty in the service this morning. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You say, "You know, we've already sang." Yeah, but I wasn't up here. Amen. Praise God. Let me feel at home. Psalm 1. Psalm number 1. Thank you, Pastor, for the invitation. It was nice to have fellowship last night and at Theta's. When Theta says, "Would you like to come for dinner?" I never refuse. If you've ever been there, you'll know why. All right. Praise God, praise God. Psalm number 1. I want your attention this morning because the Lord has something to say that'll bless every one of you today. You say, "How do you know that?" I just know it. Praise the Lord. You will. You'll be blessed. Not because I'm here, but blessed because the Lord's already here before I even came in. Amen? Amen. Praise God. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." You've got your Bibles open to Psalm 1. How would you like to read the second verse, please? "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." Audience? "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Thank you, Father, to bless your word to every heart here today. And especially, Lord, to there might be a remnant or some that need it especially, because that's what we feel in our hearts. So bless them and bless all of us together. And may we praise you with all of our hearts in Jesus' name." And everybody said, "Amen." The secret of true happiness. Now, some people have cheapened that word happiness and have said happiness has only to do with happenings. I agree with that in a measure, but not necessarily. They will tell you that joy is greater than happiness. Well, that's probably so. But I believe that there's a great element in the Christian life of a happy, happy Christian that can walk the streets every day. The book of Psalms, as we know, was Israel's songbook. I better check my time at what day I started. All right, 23 to 12. All right. Amen. Some of you are taking me serious. You got a worried look on your face already. It was Israel's songbook. There are songs of lament. There are songs expressing great joy. There are songs of praise. There are songs of prophetical utterance and a message. The first psalm, however, forms an introduction to the whole Psalter. And it shows us the secret, I believe, of true happiness. And who does not want to know more and more that secret? Some people there are in the world who seem to entertain the idea that you cannot be happy and be spiritual at the same time. Isn't that interesting? They think the longer the face, there's an old Catholic proverb that says, it takes more than sad eyes and a long face to make a good monk. Some of you are coming by freight, but you got it. I was in a service one time at Bloor and Young in Toronto, where it was a convention thing in a modernistic denomination, and I won't mention that, of course. But it was full, about 2,000 people in there, roughly, in the balcony. It was full, and the minister was reading his sermon, and word for word, and finally he must have said something. There must have been a Pentecostal brother somewhere in the audience, because the fellow up there in the audience said, "Amen." Well, that just cannonaded through that building. The minister got so excited or disturbed that he stopped and said, "Who was that that interrupted me?" And looked up there, and finally two ushers came down to the man and said, "Sir, what's your problem?" He says, "I don't have any problems. I'm just happy." Well, they said, "This is no place to be happy then." One more tootin' your oot. You see, there are people that believe that when you come to church, you should look sad, and when you walk out, you should look like you just lost your best friend or whatever, you know. And that's far, far from the truth. They believe that God does not intend us to be happy. Nothing could be further from the truth. This is the devil's lie. God does want us to be happy, or even better still, joyful. I've got to get used to the furniture here. All right. Joyful. Notice how the psalm, the whole book of Psalms, opens. Blessed is the man, which translated literally reads, oh, the blessedness of the man. You know what? I always steer clear of the word luck or lucky. And the reason is because I don't believe it's got anything to do with the Christian life. We used to call the dinners in our church pot luck. I wasn't long changing that. We started calling it pot blessing or share a dish dinner. Call it whatever you want, 24th of May, anything you want. But get rid of the luck, because I don't believe luck applies in the Christian life. I'm never lucky. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Hallelujah. My life is guided by God, whether he gives me a no or a yes when I ask him something. Whether I feel his blessing or whether I don't feel his blessing, I know I'm blessed 24 hours of the day. I can wake up at 3 o'clock in the middle of the night and I'm blessed and he's there. Hallelujah. Sometimes I pray and my wife doesn't know I'm even praying. Why? Well, because she's sleeping. That's why. And I lift my hand up and praise to God. Hallelujah. In the middle of the night, glory to God. I feel like praising him today. Bless the Lord. All right, blessed is the man. When God blesses you, you're going to be blessed. It means that the blessing of God will be upon the good man described in this psalm. Now in Proverbs 10:22, it says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. In Ephesians 1:1-6, Paul writes, inspired by God, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Hallelujah. I used to travel in evangelism at one time with a musician named Joey Botchinnik. And Joey was the greatest musician I've ever personally met. He had mastered 9 instruments. He would play them till his fingers would bleed on the strings, that is. And I had him in Evangel Temple, Toronto, with me there at that time when Evangel was downtown in a series of meetings. And Joey was telling us that one of the big orchestra leaders got a hold of him by phone and said, Joey, we could use you in our orchestra. I don't know if it was Guy Lombardo or who it was, but it was one of the biggies in those days. And Joey said, no, you can't afford me. Oh, he said, yes, we can. Don't you play in churches? Joey said, yes. Yes, I do. Well, Joey said, I'm already a millionaire. Oh, the guy stopped for a moment. Playing in churches? You're a millionaire? Maybe he'd been playing the orchestra in the wrong place. You know, he said, he was dumbfounded. He said, Joey said, yes, many times over. He said, every time I pick up one of these instruments, I'm sending up material. I got a mansion over there, big. He said, Joey says, what I didn't tell him was my wife had just written me from her phone, from Elkhart, Indiana's home, and said, Joey, the kitchen floor is sunk about 6 inches on the one side. What are we going to do? Joey said, take the 5 kids and stand on the other side till I get home. But he was a millionaire. He was happy. He had more joy than that orchestra leader ever knew anything about. Oh, my. the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich and adds no sorrow. In Matthew 5, 1 to 12, we read, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, and so on. There are no less than 9 pronouncements of blessing and promise there. The 12th verse caps it all. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Oh, praise God. I'll tell you what, I am blessed this morning. I am really blessed. In fact, I was at a funeral yesterday in Kingston, and I felt the blessing of the Lord at the funeral. Glory to God. When I walked in there and saw the picture of the man that, in fact, he came to the Lord while we were in Kingston, and that's why we were there. And when I saw that, I thought of the resurrection and where Jesus rose from the dead. He is not here, for he is risen. And the message yesterday was, he's not here. He's with the Lord in heaven. Hallelujah. We are blessed. Glory to God. God wants Christians to be happy. Deeply happy, radiantly happy. In this psalm, God gives us a picture of the happy man or woman and then proceeds to tell us why he or she is happy. Now, if we ask, what is the blessed or happy man like? Verse 3 tells us, and then follows a 7-fold description of the godly man or woman, the believer. And this is what I want you to get today. This is what I want to leave with you. The 7-fold blessing that applies to you today and every day of your life. The first one here is vitality. He shall be like a tree. A tree is the most formidable of all plant life. A tree I planted one time in St. Catharines when I pastored there. Just a little wee sapling like this. Most things I plant don't grow, but this one sure did. I went back about 20 years later, and that tree was bigger than me, and that says something, doesn't it? Anyway, it was huge in the front yard. It monopolized the front yard. A tree is the most formidable part of plant life that God's ever created. He shall, not a sapling, not a little wee weed somewhere. He shall be like a tree. Every born-again Christian has received new life. Some seem to hardly know it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Some Christians don't know how blessed they are. I told the folk yesterday at Thetis, pardon this, and Pastor, but I told them a little story. Since I'm a half-breed from Newfoundland, that gives me freedom to tell a Newfoundland story, correct? All right. There were two buddies in the Second World War that just got into the Army. They didn't know all the protocol of the Army, and they were walking up the streets of St. John's. I lived in New Brunswick, St. John's, Newfoundland, and they passed a sergeant major. They didn't realize his stripes on his... They didn't know that you had to salute the guy. And he had such an ego, he wasn't going to let him away with that. He said, halt! They knew what halt meant. They stopped. And he turned around to these two soldiers and said, don't you know who I am? And the one soldier looked at his friend and said, come here, George, come see a man don't know who he is. There's some Christians don't know who they are. They don't know how blessed they are. Do you know how blessed you are today? I don't care how you feel when you go out of here. You are blessed. You're a blessed person. Hallelujah. You say, I may walk out of here and the car won't start. Well, hallelujah. We were driving along the 401 yesterday, and there was a woman out flagging. And I said, we better stop. And we stopped and picked her up. You know what? She was blessed that a car stopped, and she didn't have a cell phone. We did. She phoned the company, ordered the wrecking truck to come by. She was blessed, and we were blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are blessed. Vitality. If any man be in Christ. The second blessing here is security and purpose, because it says a tree planted. Planted. Not running all around. Not looking for some new scenario. Oh, we live in such a moving society today. Everybody's going somewhere. They're flying somewhere. We have a daughter, 25 years old, graduated a year ago from Bible college. Listen, She's already been to Italy. She's been to Portugal. She's been to England. She's been all over. Next month, she's going to Thailand for a missions trip. And then in July, she's going. They're flying down to Nova Scotia to see the grandmother. She doesn't have any money. No wonder she doesn't. It reminds me of the university student that wrote his dad home, and the letter was, no mun, no fun, your son. The dad wrote back, said, too bad, how sad, your dad. Yeah. Yeah, security and purpose, a tree planted. Wouldn't it be something if every time you take to the highway, if a big tree came running down the highway to meet you from the other way? Oh my. You know, I believe we need to bloom where we're planted. Amen. Bloom right where God puts you. Be there every time the church door opens, and even sometimes when it hasn't opened yet. Hallelujah. How many can say amen again?
Amen.
Amen. This sermon gets better as we go along. So you say, I hope so. Praise God. Security and purpose, not grown wild, not by luck or by accident, but chosen by God. Ephesians 1:4. According as he hath chosen us before the foundation of the world. We used to sing a chorus years ago. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Oh, that applies to every one of us. You see, I'm going through a trial right now. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Some of you missed a good place to say amen right there. The third blessing right here is provision. All the happiness planted by the rivers, streams of water. Now, what does a tree need most to grow? It needs moisture, doesn't it? And so, is there enough of God's provision to satisfy? Yes, it says rivers, tall trees in my backyard. They must be, well, I don't know. The trees, the highest trees I see all around, because they're right by a spring-fed lagoon, right in the end of the backyard. And they've got water 12 months of the year. And every year, in fact, we've had 30-some wild turkeys that have stayed around our place for 3 winters now. And you ought to see those guys when they fly up into those tall trees at night. It's something to watch. It really is. And they're well above all the coyotes and anything else that runs around. They're safe in the top. And those trees are growing every year taller and taller and taller. Oh, my. It means the Bible says rivers, not just river, but rivers of living water. In Christ, the happy man has all he or she needs for time and eternity. A man, a true story, came to Dwight L. Moody years and years ago when Moody was preaching, I suppose, in Chicago. And it was a lady, as a matter of fact. I better get it right. She came and said, Mr. Moody, do you have dying grace? He stopped for just a moment and thought, and he said, no. He said, I don't know as that I do. Well, she said, Mr. Moody, what chance is there for the rest of us? You're a man of God, renowned around the world, and you don't have dying grace. What about us? He said, lady, God hasn't called on me to die. I've got living grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Moody was preaching a sermon one time, and a dear little lady, very strict in her religion, she came to him and said, Mr. Moody, I got something out of that sermon, but I would have got a lot more if it wasn't for that flashy, ungodly, worldly tie you got on. And she said, as a matter of fact, I got a pair of scissors in my purse, and if you'd give me permission, I'd like to cut it off. He said, if it'll make you feel any better, go ahead, sister. And with great relish, she took the scissors and cut it off. Now, he said, would you loan me the scissors and stick out your tongue? It's been giving me problems. Woo! Hallelujah. Romans 8:16. and 17, we are children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:3. We are blessed, as we said, with every spiritual blessing and provision, Philippians 4:19. Are you getting it? But my God shall supply some of your need. Wait a minute. Did I get that right? No. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Colossians 2:10. And you are complete in him. And what is his position? Which is the head of all principalities and powers. David Wilkerson years ago was going down in Brooklyn, New York. Have you ever been there? You might not want to go back if you've seen it. Not a pretty picture at night anyway. Dave's walking down to win souls for Christ in Brooklyn. People on the doorsteps lying out under the influence of alcohol, drugs, what have you, being robbed, coat taken off their back, whatever. It all goes on practically every night as far as I know. And they said to David, David, you've got to get a bodyguard. You can't keep going down there like this alone, because someday you're not going to come back. David says, I've got the best one there is. Oh, that's good, they said. We didn't know. What's his name? Charles Atlas? You know what I mean? He must be a guy with broad shoulders. No, David said, as a matter of fact, his name is Jesus. Oh, they said, that's good, David, but you need a physical presence. Dave said one night a great big guy came out of a back alley, twice the size of David, which it doesn't say much, you know. And he grabbed David by the shoulders with a big, and was going to drag him back in the alley and rob him, maybe kill him. And David wrenched himself around for a minute and said, hallelujah. And the guy took off like he was shot out of a gun. The devil had a stroke right there. Couldn't stand the word hail to Jehovah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Where we're blessed with all spiritual blessing, we're complete in him. The fourth blessing here is productiveness, fertility. He shall be like a tree that brings forth fruit. Get that now. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I help to develop all the fruits of the Spirit in my wife every day. Some of you got that, didn't you? I know she did anyway. Oh my. What a thing. Well, I won't get into that. John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. The blessings of being blessed of God. I tell you, a lot of us are far more blessed than we realize most days of our life. We go by feelings sometimes. If I don't feel blessed, if I don't feel goosebumps going around all over my body or whatever, I'm not blessed. My brother, you're blessed no matter how you feel. Whether you feel up or whether you feel down, whether you're lying down in bed or whether you're walking down the street, you are blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. The fifth one here, God's picture of the happy man, propriety. He shall bear fruit in his season. I like that. How wonderful this is. The right fruit at the right time, just as is needed and timely. What does that mean? Patience when suffering, faith in trial. Don't lose your faith. Believe. Say, I'm going through a trial, a real big trial. Keep your patience. Keep your faith. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy in prosperity. You may say, well, I've been a Christian for so many years, Brother Morgan, and yes, I've been blessed, but I just don't feel I've reached the zenith of usefulness to God. Be patient. There is time in preparation. There is a full... I saw your bulletin when I walked in today. In other words, I can't quote it, but be tolerant of people that are different stages of spiritual growth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Maybe someone comes in and they're still on the weed. Well, give them a little time. Bless God. Hallelujah. Everything got dead here. On the weed. I was preaching one time in a big church in a city. I saw a guy pull up in a great big car in front, and he got out with a big Havana cigar. You know, I had just read where the Mayo Clinic down there at that time said the human body's got a little fats and a little phosphorus and a little bit minerals and enough fats to make a bar of soap. This guy was about that big. And I thought to myself, he thinks he's somebody with a Havana cigar. There goes two bars of soap. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you still coming? Amen. Amen. Fruit in his season. All right. There, it takes time and preparation. Fullness in God's timing. Colonel Sanders, remember the story? I held meetings with a pastor down in Evansville, Indiana. And his pastor friend was the pastor of Colonel Sanders when old Colonel was around. And guess what? They built a brand new church and they had a way overrunning expenses by maybe a couple, 300,000, I suppose. And they were deeply in debt and didn't know what they were going to do. And they got down to pray, Lord, send a rich man in that can help us with this load. And guess who God sent in? The old man with the goatee himself, Colonel Harlan Sanders. He came in and got saved, and the first night left a check for $250,000 and said, this is only the beginning. Oh, hallelujah. I could shout hallelujah on that, couldn't you? Amen. Winston Churchill. You see, when he became Prime Minister of England during the Second World War, he said, I felt like all my life up to this point was simply the dressing room to prepare me for this important hour of my life and of history. Praise the Lord. God's working on you. God's preparing you for something. Maybe you're not as far advanced as sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so. Thank God for them. But God's leading in shady green pastures so rich and so sweet. I heard who wrote that song just last week. It was in 1903, and the minister wrote it after somebody, enemy, burned his house to the ground with every bit of furniture. And he sat down and wrote, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet. God leads his dear children along. Hallelujah. Fullness of God's timing. Let me hurry on here. It's number six, perpetuity here. Ah, it's a 50-cent word, isn't it? His leaf also shall not wither. I like that. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. I heard a camp meeting speaker one time, every night when he got up to speak, he said, you know something, folks? This is the best day I've ever lived. They knew what was coming after the first night. He said, and then he'd quote that, the path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. His leaf also shall not wither. The life we receive from God does not dissipate. It is eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house be dissolved, we have a building of God made with hands, eternal in the heavens. One time when I pastored in St. Catharines, Ontario, we had a nice big new church there at that time, and a bus of hippies, Jesus people, came along from the States. I never met anybody just like them, to tell you the truth, but they taught me something, I can tell you that. They blew the motor. They picked up a hitchhiker on the highway coming up through somewhere around Niagara, you see, in USA, and they had picked up this hitchhiker. Well, I know when they picked the hitchhiker up, he was ready for a good long sermon. They wanted to win him to the Lord. They were telling him, and all of a sudden, the old school bus, the motor blew. The whole rod went right through the side of the engine. And here they were, 5 or 6 miles out of Niagara Falls, Ontario. You know what those guys did? They got out and had a praise meeting by the side of the bus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This hitchhiker said, you are the strangest people I've ever met, he said. He said, you blow the motor in your bus and you're praising God. How can you do that? They said, we know God's got a purpose why the motor went. He calls on a wrecker that brings them in. They only had, I think, $48 in their pocket at the time. They were traveling on faith, I can tell you. And pulled the car in, took it into a garage. The garage was a backslidden Pentecostal man that had been years backslidden. And they got him back on the rails, back to God again, got him back in fellowship with the Lord. And they said, where's your wife? Oh, he said, she runs the Dairy Queen across the street. Over the street they went over and got a hold of her. I'll tell you, it was either get converted or else, whatever. And when the bus was all fixed, they said, how much? Well, my buddy, the pastor in Niagara Falls, had him for meetings. He contacted me and said, you got to have these people. They're contagious. They just sing and praise the Lord, and we did. And when they went to pay the bill, the driver says, you've been a bigger blessing to me than I've ever been to you. You don't owe me anything. Well, I could almost jump for joy. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Praise the Lord. A lot of us are living below our privileges in the Lord. We moan and groan. Oh, my, this and that and the other thing. And it isn't this because doesn't rain, the rhubarb isn't growing, and if it rains too much, the grain isn't growing, and if it does this, oh my, we moan sometimes, but we ought to be just praising the Lord. How many can say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Oh, you're alive. I think the last one here is prosperity, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. This is God's promise to the believer. You say, well, I'm not sure that I'm prospering. You will. You will. Hallelujah. There are seasons of life, but you will. If you trust and never doubt, remember, he'll surely bring you out. Whatever he does shall prosper. This sums up and finalizes all the other six promises. Genesis 24:1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. In Romans 8:28, whatsoever he does shall prosper. And then it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And I'll finish at this point with just a thought or two. Now, the secret of true happiness, is there a secret in this psalm? Yes, there is. First of all, in verse 1, repentance. It is implied in three words, not, nor, and nor. Get rid of my stumbling blocks. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and abundantly pardon. It must be complete. A turning from the counsel of the ungodly, from the way of sinners, and from sitting with the scornful. You know, a lot of times who you keep company with has a lot to say about how much victory you are in the Lord. We can notice the subtle progression of sin here in this psalm. Walking, standing, and sitting in the wrong counsel. The second recipe for this delight is faith. Here, his delight shall be in the law of the Lord. The third one is obedience. He's in the law of the Lord. My, my, my. You know, isn't that something? You go into a ball game or a hockey game and you watch the umpire there and that gives the rules, etc., etc. And it depends what side somebody's on, whether they're on the winning side or on the losing side. If you happen to be a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs, God have mercy on you. All right. But you got to keep your victory in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Did you ever watch a ball game? They put Christians to shame. You know, the Leafs, they cheer when they score one goal. There's not that many times to cheer, but anyway, whatever. And you know, you get to an old ball game, and a guy can pick up a little ball like this, and he can throw it so fast it looks like an aspirin coming across the plate. Oh, my. My brother was a pitcher. Let me tell you, he was. He could throw a ball pretty near around your head. And I was an older brother. He said, you can't hit me. I said, oh, yeah, pride, you know. I was 9 years older. Sure I can. He said, come on down to the ballpark and find out. Went down to the ballpark, and he'd strike one, strike two, strike three, and all I was doing was waving at the air. You go to a hockey game, and they're slapping the board. You go to a football game, and somebody grabs a little bag of wind wrapped up in pigskin. That's a football. And they get all excited about that. And one guy throws it down, and a little guy that can run like a deer, like a gazelle, he grabs it and puts it, holds it tight, and a big 320-pound lineman wants to sever his head from its shoulders. But he misses the guy, and he carries that ball across a little white chalk line, and then he goes, hey, I didn't do that very good. And they get all excited about the bag of wind wrapped in pigskin. And the hockey is just 5 or 10 cats out there chasing a little rubber ball with big sticks in their hand. That's what a hockey game's all about. And we come to church. Well, you're not quiet here. Praise God, you're alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to go to those big churches with 2,000 people in them where they think you're mentally deranged if you shout amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm not finished, but I'm going to quit. Isn't that nice of me? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name.